The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. It's Expository Thursday. Oh, my. And we thought we only had two more lessons in the book of Ephesians. We thought wrong, or let me rephrase that. I thought wrong. There's actually two lessons and then one more. I thought it was two. So let's start off the show by going, Dave, nice. Oops. Way to go. Thank you very much. Today we find out what we should wear. In fact, my wife even said that to me today. I got to think about what I want to wear today. I said, that's funny because that's what I'm talking about during the show. Is it shorts? Is it a shirt? A suit? Flip-flops? Or the armor of God. I think you know where we're going with that. Also, it's cotton candy, sprinkles, Skittles, and rainbows if you're not a Christian. Otherwise, for genuine believers, there's quite a bit of struggles and schemes from the enemy. And forgiveness is at the heart of the gospel between God and people, people and people, and yourself with yourself. Oh, my.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the fourth show without me having coffee. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You are welcome to text us, 214-210-8483. That's the text, 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Is Terrific Tierra, or T, is ready for the phones. Okay? She's ready. That's what she just told me while she was yawning. She just told me she was ready. Right. It's okay. I'll get it rolling. Here's the first trivia question. By the way, you can send praise reports, prayer requests, anything, even topics you want me to discuss. It's probably better if you do that, not necessarily during the show, but it's okay. Which day, now there are 6 days that God was creating things, and then on the seventh day he rested, not because he was tired. Which day did God create fish? Which day did God create fish? Ha ha. If you know the answer, get in touch with us. Keep in mind, any topic's open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Speaking of fish, now this is not, I just am now seeing that this happened. I mean, literally, as I'm talking to T, I realize this happened. Today is Go Fishing Day. How funny is that? And speaking of fish, it's International Sushi Day. It's like two fishy things, and I asked a fish trivia question, didn't even realize that was going on. Or if I knew it, it was like the subconscious.
See, that sounds fishy. Yeah.
Very boom, boom. Nice job. Boy, you are just on it today. I'll tell you what, that was pretty good. Do you like sushi at all?
I do. I just like the cooked one, not raw.
Okay, so you don't like raw. Okay, that's fine. I never had eaten sushi, and I went out to a pastor's conference one time, and a pastor took me to it, and it was a place that was serving like an all-you-can-eat sushi. Probably not the way to start. That's what I'm going to say to you right now. For those that do not know, it's National Splurge Day. So if you got an extra 50 cents or a dollar, go ahead and spend it on whatever. You can, anything you want. I think you can buy like a jawbreaker for a dollar because you can't buy a candy bar anymore. Keep in mind, it's also recess at work day. So if you're at work and you need a few minutes to like play recess, that's okay. It's okay to take a few minutes in order to make your productivity better. On this day as well, 1928, on this day, Amelia Earhart is the first woman to fly in an airplane across the Atlantic Ocean. Wow. In 1940, on this day, Winston Churchill gave his famous Finest Hour speech. In 1983, on this day, and it is connected to the 1928 Amelia Earhart, Sally Ride is the first American woman in outer space. So you got the first American woman in outer space on June 18th, 1983. And then in 1928, June 18th, you have Amelia Earhart being the first woman to cross in a plane. That's pretty cool. I mean, I think they connected that. The thing that I thought most fascinating, I think, is the 1948 on this day, the first successful long-playing micro-groove record. Columbia Records introduced its long play 10-inch and 12-inch 33 1/3 RPM record. One side played for 23 minutes compared to the 4 minutes that the current 78 records were playing. So have you ever seen a 78 record? So you've seen them because you're in the industry, right?
Yes.
Most people have not even a clue, right? And then 33s were all we grew up on, you know. Then the big breakthrough was the 8-track tape. I'm gonna move on purpose. All right, so here's the question for the trivia people. What day did God create fish? This would be the things that are teeming in the sea, I think is the phraseology that was used. Teeming in the sea. All right, so we are going to be doing Expository Thursday, but I have to split up the armor of God because it's just way too much. So before we start, I'm going to turn it to T and let her play our famous introduction for Expository.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
Okay, maybe it's more infamous than famous, which if you watch The Three Amigos, infamous is even more than regular famous. Okay, or not. Here we go. What should I wear today? Here's the passage that we're going to be leaping from. It starts off in Ephesians chapter 6. It's verse 10, 11, 12, and 13. The first is verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. First and foremost, I'd like to say something that you've not heard quite a bit about. Can be real careful how I do this, okay? The first line is, finally, be strong in the Lord. Now, I want to point out that this eliminates people who are, your faith should be a part of your life, but not something that people actually know. It's just kind of a part of your functionality. That is 1,000% incorrect. You are supposed to be strong in the faith. The Bible says in Proverbs, I think it's 28:1, if not 29:1, it's 28:1, the righteous are as bold as a lion. There is a boldness to the Christian faith, and if you have not noticed, there needs to be a boldness to the Christian faith because now they're just pressing all the Christian thinking and all of the people that use the tag Christian. They're pressing everybody together like Play-Doh being squished together in one ball. And it's like, look, just because a person says they're a Christian doesn't make them a Christian any more than when you walk through the garage, you become a car. Okay? That's not how this works. How it works is that you have faith in Jesus Christ and you're not ashamed of that faith or afraid to be in that faith. In fact, that's our DNA. Draw closer to the Lord. D, N, never be ashamed. A, always be ready. Always be ready to what? To be used by the Lord, to share with people what it is inside of you that makes you different. We are encouraged to be strong in the faith. I'll tell you something now that many of you might not be aware of, but there was not that long ago, probably about 9 years ago, the Jewish Defense League came out and said they don't want Christians talking to Jewish people about Jesus because they were converting people and people were becoming Christians. And the Jewish Defense League says that's unacceptable. Well, here's something for the Jewish Defense League that I said back then. I will say it now and say it until they put me in the ground or until the Lord comes, whichever is first. And it's Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. If the Jewish Defense League doesn't like that we're witnessing to Jewish people, there's one word for them. I'll put it on toast and I'll butter it and I'll even put jelly on it. It's called tough. That's it. Because there's no way that we're not going to share, that we're not going to communicate, that we're going to be ashamed, that we're going to be quiet in regards to our faith. And the idea that we should say nothing or do nothing and just be osmosis in society is absurd. You and I are called to be strong as Christians. We're called to be strong in our faith. Now, strong is not arrogant. So let me at least define that. There are some people that they probably do have a genuine faith, but they're really meshuggahness about it. It's like I can't say it anyway. It's almost like, oh my goodness, even I as a Christian would like you to be quiet. I mean, there's times where, you know, and I've told you that story before where you had these guys come out to the park and it's a church gathering in the park and they come out with bullhorns. If you don't accept Jesus Christ, and they just start blaring and just yelling, didn't talk to any of us, didn't know us. And every single person in the park was from the church, this big church. And it was just like, okay, this is part of the problem. So arrogance and buffoonery in the process, that's not what we're talking about. But you cannot be squishy, right? I mean, you cannot be flubber. Did you ever see the movie Flubber? You cannot be flubber. You have to be strong in the faith. Jesus didn't go into the temple and go, hey, how's about you guys knocking that off? Yeah, thanks. He drove the animals and the money changers out. I'm not advocating violence. I'm trying to separate what you are strong and passionate about. And if it's not faith, boy, there's some problems. Because there's nothing more important in your life, not even family, compared to faith. Get it? All right. What day were the fishy created? The fifth day is the answer. Day number 5. Okay, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Dr. Robert Jeffress on hell.
I had a lady one time, we did a Q&A session in our church. We call Ask the Pastor. Usually I know what they're going to ask, but this lady raised her hand and she said, Pastor, if a woman is pregnant at the rapture, does that mean she will be pregnant throughout eternity? And I paused for a second and I said, yes, it's called hell.
That's brutal.
Mean, there are some unanswered questions about all of this, but I do think we're going to know one another.
The David Spoon Experience.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. A couple things I need you to be praying about, then we'll get into some other stuff. So three things. One, my daughter texted me yesterday. Our little Easton Scott, we had a real big episode yesterday. This is Easton Scott, the child that was in the hospital for 18 days, 19 days, whatever the case may be. And so we all gathered and we prayed, and she did give me an update today that he is doing 1,000 times better since everybody was praying. So I just appreciate it if while you're praying, you just remember Easton Scott. I don't give a lot of updates because I wait for my daughter to kind of fill me in before I share. Otherwise, we just have a normal conversation of face-to-face time. So he had a tough time. We just want to pray that the Lord will bring him not just fully back, because it looks like that already took place, but that the Lord will really begin to heal deep within. The second thing I want you to pray about is you guys know I'm doing a PhD seminar class, and I wrote like 28 pages, and like 14 of them I have to get rid of. Then I have to replace them with another 10. I'm having a hard time with some of that. So I'm just being honest. It's just like, you go to school, you write the paper, and you're like going, that was good. That was really good. And he writes back, he goes, you can't be preaching when you're writing. You got to be, and you can't be teaching. These are people that are, level, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay. So I have a little bit of wavery in me. I'm just telling you, just being honest. So I could use some prayer because I need to know what the Lord wants me to do. I'm sure he wants me to keep going, but I'm having an argument with him about it. Additionally, let's get into our next trivia question and you guys being able to reach out to us. Don't forget, you can reach us by contacting us at 214-210-8483 through text. You can also call us at 972-445-0770. I anticipate this trivia question might be a little bit easier for many. The question simply is, who took over for Moses? Who was after Mo? Okay? Not Larry, Moe, and Curly. That's when I do a reference to Peter, James, and John. I'm talking about the actual Mo. Who took over? All right. Just going to keep it there. Leave it there. If you know, you're welcome to call. You're welcome to text. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. Great place to give. Hint, 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 hint. I can't say it any better. Hint, 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 hint. Great place to give. Hint, 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 hint. As well as get some other information. Our email, david@hemustincrease.org. Or Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Pretty straightforward. Who took over for Mo? You're welcome to text us, 214-210-8483. as well as you can call us, 972-445-0770. Okay, the party's over. What? The party's over? Yeah. So in this passage, we're going to read now verse 11, Ephesians 6:10. We just said it, talked about finally be strong in the Lord and his mighty power, which, by the way, is his power, not your power. Okay, because no, you don't. Okay, just he does. Just leave it there. Verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, I want to say something that's very important. I'm going to kind of cover two angles on this. There was a period in the church about 20 years ago, maybe about 25 years ago, I should say, where everybody was like, we should pray against directly speaking to demonic authoritative powers in the sky. Now, whoever came up with that teaching, and it was had to do with praying over the city, there's nothing wrong with praying over the city. There's nothing wrong with asking God to do great things amongst the city, for him to release the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit might be spread and touch people, and that people might get saved. There's no wrong in that. Obviously, there's never going to be wrong in that. That's basically praying for a revival. And there's no wrong for asking God to, you know, send his angels to help and da-da-da. As long as you're talking to God, you know, you can say it. Doesn't mean he's going to do it. Might send his spirit, might send his angels, might do nothing. You don't know. Or he might send people. That's the great thing about God, is he does it the way it should be done. But addressing demonic powers, unless you are in a specific situation where you are helping somebody be released from demonic oppression, addressing demonic powers in cities, in demonic powers that sit over cities, I just want to tell you that is dumb, okay? You are not at that spiritual authority or place in the context that you'd be tough and hard-pressed to understand that you should be addressing them when Michael, the archangel, would barely speak to Satan. And those are the two, there's number two, one, you got God is number one, nobody else on the same plane, but then number 6 million and 6 million and one below them, that's those two. And it's like, they wouldn't even talk. It's like, you don't do that. That's not what you're called to. You have a struggle and I have a struggle. And the struggle is we use God's power, his mighty power. You don't be, you know, taking on some kind of spiritual entity that you don't have a clue about. You come before the Lord and ask him to release his power, his anointing. If you really want to get into it, you can go into the book of Daniel and see where Gabriel was withheld in regards to giving the message to Daniel and how he talked about the prince of Persia in the sky and da-da-da. That's kind of fascinating material. But nowhere in there do you see Daniel addressing the principles and powers directly. That is not a good idea. And the second thing I want to say about that is for you to understand that Satan is not unaware of who you are, okay? Just as God is not unaware of who you are, Satan is not unaware of who you are, and it is his kingdom that you battle. It's his kingdom that there's struggle with. And so that's why the scripture is very clear. Put on the full armor of God, not part of it, because that's not enough. If you have an opening within your armor, you can count on the enemy taking advantage of that. But we need to take our stand against the devil's schemes. And when verse 12 says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, the whole premise of that is for you to understand there's a deeper, darker, spiritual, motivating power that goes on beyond the politicians you dislike. Okay? And I know some of you guys are like, well, this party represents this, or this party represents this, or this person says this, or this person says this. And you notice I don't get into the middle of a lot of that unless they quote scripture. Because then that's just, you know, nope, I can quote, I can read. That's not hard. But the point is for you and I to understand that Jesus, now some people are going to get emails from this, and it's okay, you can send me emails, I'll love you anyway. But Jesus talked as much about darkness, sin, evil, and Satan as he did about love. And both of those five times more than he talked about the poor. So you can't change the number. See, there's some things that numbers don't change. Numbers don't change. When you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and read all the references to sin, to Satan, to demons, and then you make all those references to love, make all those references to the poor and things of that nature, you're going to find out heaven, eternity, those are the number one elements. But right at number three and four come in evil, darkness, sin, and Satan. And there's a reason that Jesus took so much time to talk about the enemy. There's a whole chapter in Revelation 12, if you just read the chapter, I'm not going to read it here, you know there's this enormous warfare going on. I'll just read the very last couple of verses in the whole chapter. It says this, the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river, and then the dragon that the dragon had thrown out of his mouth. When the dragon was enraged at the woman, he went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commandments and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. That's you! That's you! Who's trying to keep God's commands and who's holding the testimony of Jesus? Christians! You can't say that any clearer. Who's he trying to make war with? Christians! It's you! He don't like you! You shouldn't like him. He don't like you. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. And the understanding here is for us to grasp. And like things like John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they may have life and life to the full. The enemy, the thief, has a goal. He's trying to steal your joy. He's trying to kill you. He's trying to destroy anything you would do for the kingdom. And you can put anything behind that steal, kill, and destroy. That's what Satan is trying to do to you. He's a thief. A thief is one that operates in stealth. He hates you. It's a struggle. It's a fight. That's why throughout Scripture you have these different references to Satan and the warfare that we go through. This is what Paul's talking about in Ephesians. Now remember, this letter is like the Magna Carta of the Christian doctrines, of the Christian elements. It's like one of the most magnificent epistles ever written. In the entire end of this chapter, the bulk of this chapter is about spiritual warfare. You have to be aware of this. I mean, if you're not, you need to be. Again, we don't advocate seeing a demon behind every rock, but we don't advocate never seeing a demon either, in the sense that there's balance here. And the enemy is trying to destroy you. He's trying to kill you. He's trying to steal from you whatever the quality of life you have, whatever the hope is, he's trying to take that from you. He's trying to kill any kind of witness you could be. He's trying to destroy you personally, physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, in any capacity that he can. But through the power of God, you don't have to yield. And that's important. That's why James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. You have to surrender to God and let the power of God move through you so you can say no, no to Satan. That's what you got to do. And it's a struggle. And don't say it's not a struggle, because Paul even says, our struggle. And you rely on God. Now, when we come back, I'm going to give you the major principle in warfare that takes place with Satan. You don't think there is one? There is one. And I'm going to deal with it, and it's very personal. You'll be amazed, okay? The answer, by the way, to the trivia question, who took over for Mo? Joshua. That's what I need my first son. Okay, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Take a short break. Be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Do you know how you keep going? Do you know how you keep putting one foot in front of the other? Do you know how you don't give up? Do you know how you don't quit even though you want to quit? You fix your eyes on Jesus. You see with God. When Peter went out of that boat and stepped on that water, there is no natural principle in the world, in any normal universe, that would allow Peter to walk on water. But he did one thing well. He looked at Jesus, and as he was looking at Jesus, the Bible says he walked on the water. He looked at his situation, just focusing at Jesus. Then he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he saw the winds and the waves, and he sank. He lost the correct attitude when he stopped seeing with Jesus in the picture. Whatever you see, whatever you face, whatever you encounter, do not see it or face it in the natural. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So everything you see, you must insert the picture of Jesus.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I want to let you know, if you want to reach us, 214-210-8483. You can also call. Now, terrific Tierra is right there by the phone. She is within, what, arm's length? Probably, 4 feet. So she can get it anytime she wants, okay? She's tired, so you got to wake her up. You got to call her. Get it going. Here we go, 972-445-0770. Here's our next trivia question. Here you go. Get ready. In Matthew, after the Sermon on the Mount, who was healed first? Who did Jesus heal first? In Matthew, after the Sermon on the Mount, who did Jesus heal first? If you know that answer, you want to call 972-445-0770 or text 214-210-8483. Our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Our email, David, at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. I don't know. Mini tree. It's a small tree. It's a mini tree. Or ministry. Oh, there you go. He Must Increase Ministry on Facebook. He Must Increase Ministry on YouTube. Also on Facebook, just to let you know, David Spoon, you put it in there. I have like 3 accounts. So don't even ask why. It's more confusing to me than it is to you. And then it's just as confusing to Facebook because they can't figure out what to do. Okay, so there it is. In Matthew, after the Sermon on the Mount, who was the first person that was healed by Jesus? Ah, see, not all the questions are super duper simple, easy. Let's go into this a little deeper into this realm, because I want to talk about something that I think is very personal, and I really want you to concentrate on this. As you know, I read verse 10, 11, and 12. I'm going to read it again and focus in on verse 11 for a second. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities and against powers of this dark world and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Scheme, in case you don't know from verse 11, is it is a secret plan to achieve an evil end. When you read in Scripture schemes, that's a secret plan to achieve an evil end. So when Paul writes under the verbal plenary process of with the Holy Spirit, which means the Holy Spirit used him as a vessel but did not remove his personality, when it says, put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, it's telling you to take a stand against secret plans that are sent into your life that are supposed to achieve an evil end. And I want to tell you one of the most powerful, effective, against Christian tactics that goes on, that Satan uses directly. You think, well, you got that? I don't got that. The Word has that. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 through 11. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs or schemes. Get it? There are many schemes that the devil will throw at you. He, of course, would love you to deny Jesus, but even if you have a moment where you do that, your faith may be strong and recuperate, just like Peter, which was not only was he restored, but he was essential in really establishing the early church. But there is a tactic, a scheme, a design that Satan uses in your life, in my life, in every Christian's life that has to do with forgiveness or the lack thereof. Because it's Satan's designs for you to not forgive or to not receive forgiveness or to not extend forgiveness or to not engage with forgiveness. In fact, sometimes forgiveness can be its own war, and that's all by design by the enemy. And what the enemy wants you to do is hold on to bitterness, not use forgiveness. And you think, well, why would he do that? Because bitterness works inside a person like a cancer. It goes in and no normal cell repellent works against it. It has to be hit with radiation, has to be hit with it could be a specific diet over a really long term. It's a real process to fight against it. Well, bitterness that stays in your system, seeps into your mind, seeps into your blood, seeps into your heart, has that same impact, and in fact, people that are bitter die sooner. So it does have a physical range to it. But Satan wants you and I to stay bitter because it reduces the core of the power of the gospel. And that's what he wants to do. So let's talk about this from the real practical points of view. God to you. God has extended his forgiveness to you. He's given you his graciousness. He's given you his mercy. James 2:13, mercy triumphs over judgment. And then we also see things like Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, which say that we might approach the throne of grace with confidence to receive mercy and find grace for our help in time of need. One of the things that we need to be aware of is that God has extended his mercy to our lives, has washed away our sins, and cleansed us. But there are some of us out there that don't receive it in every area. We receive it in general. But those struggling areas, we wonder if God has forgiven. That process that you go through with right there, that's a tactic of the enemy to get you to not receive forgiveness. If the mercies of God are new every morning, then watch this. This is super profound. Then the mercies of God are new every morning. In other words, if what you've done, you've come before the Lord and all of your stuff, and you are like, I'm a mess. Please forgive me. and then you move forward from that point, and there's things that you struggle with, God doesn't go, well, I forgave you on Friday, but it's Tuesday, so now I can't forgive you. It doesn't work that way. Forgiveness of God is extended continually. His love is faithful. His love endures forever, and he will not toll back that which he's extended to you, but the enemy wants you to think that way. Why? Because if you don't receive forgiveness, guess what you can't give? Aha! You know why it's hard for certain people to forgive other people? Because they don't receive it. If you receive 50 Snicker bars, it's a really bad example since I'm on a diet. If you receive 50 Snicker bars, it's easy to give a Snicker bar away. There's 50 of them. In fact, I will confess to you that for one holiday, my wife bought me one of those enormous boxes of Snickers. It's like 26 Snickers or something like that. It's unbelievable. It's like one huge Snicker kind of thing. Anyhow, when you have an abundance of it, then you can give, and it's give, you get that. But if you don't receive any, it's really tough to give a Snickers bar if you don't have one, or if you only have half a bar or a quarter of a bar. My point is, that's the same premise on almost everything, that what God gives us, we need to receive. And that reception then becomes something that we extend to others. Oh, here's something that'll just tweak your mind. And that extension has to be to yourself. Because if you get 50 Snickers bars, guess what you got to do? You got to eat one, right? You got to receive one for you. And so what people do is they don't receive the forgiveness of God, then they don't extend forgiveness to others, and they don't extend forgiveness to themselves. You think, well, that never happens. It always happens. And while there's much argument about love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, love your neighbor as you love yourself, there is a reality check that in the love that you have for yourself, it has to be genuine. And so that genuineness of that love that you have for yourself's got to be real. And that's if you love your neighbor yourself, what if you hate yourself? Then how do you love your neighbor? It's impossible. And so you just kind of process with this. You have to receive it. And the blockage to receiving it most of the time is we're not worthy, or we've got to do things that create a worthiness so that we can receive the forgiveness. The whole word forgive is not extended by merit. It's a contradiction to the word. Forgiveness is getting something from the Lord. You can't earn it. You either receive it or reject it. You don't earn it. And that's an important distinction. And some of you out there, and you are fighting, and you're in this fight with bitterness, even in yourself. But you gotta receive that forgiveness. Don't let Satan take advantage of your struggle that you are not in reception of God's grace and God's mercy and God's forgiveness, because he will. And he'll use it against you, and he'll use it against others, and he'll be an accuser of the brethren, and he accuses the brethren, and you're one of the brethren, so he accuses you. And that's how it works. And you got to go, no, that's scheme. I'm not buying into that. That's a bad program. That's why I rely on the mercy and grace of God. That's why I depend on that. That's why I rely on the love that God has for me. That is how we operate it, okay? All right, in Matthew, by the way, who was healed first after the Sermon on the Mount? It was the man with leprosy. That's the answer. That's a tough one right there. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God for you and I. God provided his own burnt offering, his own lamb of sacrifice, because our presentations are not that hot. And this is where you get the understanding that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many? All. And the wages of sin is death. That's the result. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God showed his love for us while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. That's the love. He was the sacrificial lamb. And if you have never made that decision, I invite you right now to make that decision to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is where you get John 3:16, which people will say is the gospel in a scripture, which is not far off. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That gift is available for you. And if you have never exercised that acceptance of that gift, I encourage you to do so by saying this prayer. And don't go anywhere because I got another one for all of us. Heavenly Father, I surrender my life. Lord Jesus Christ, I give you my heart. Pour out your Holy Spirit, for I believe you rose from the dead, and I confess with my mouth you died for my sins according to the scriptures. You were buried, and 3 days later you rose again. You ascended to the Father and are coming back soon, and I thank you for this new life you've given me. I praise you and pray this in your name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are now a Christian.
If Jesus was like...
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Well, I'm very happy to be here in Texas. I just want to say I'm super happy to be here in Texas. I have friends in California that are all going, "How's Texas?" It's like they're like, "Time to go." It's like, wow. You are welcome to reach out to us. You can call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And also, you can text us 214-210-8483. That is 214-210-8483. I'm going to give you a scripture, and I just want you to tell me which book it's in. How about that? The scripture that I'm referring to is the one that talks about us being changed into the image of the Lord, glory by glory, or the scripture might say in your translation, with ever-increasing glory. What's the scripture that's referencing you and I being changed into the image of the Lord, glory by glory, or with ever-increasing glory? Tell me if you can locate the book. It's what we call the address. So if you don't know, John 3:16. John 3:16 is the address for that. So tell me if you can tell me the address on that particular scripture. I do want to point out something that is definitely worth saying, and I want to make sure you understand that. When we're talking about Satan, we're not talking about some concept of evil like ignorant teachers will try and say. This is an entity, a being, a actual being that resonates within the framework of evil. As God resonates within the framework of love, Satan resonates within the framework of darkness and evil. It's a war. And that's why it's challenging to take these steps and to move forward and to overcome. But you know what? You can do all things through Christ, and you're going to have to do it one step at a time, unless the Lord just goes bammo, and then you're all taken care of. I don't see bammo a lot, though. I saw it for my drug deliverance, okay? I mean, I did see it for that, and I've seen it in probably about four or five other areas, but that's over 42 years. So, you know, the rest of it, you got to keep plowing away. It's kind of like, oh, Lord, can I lose 50 pounds at the end of this prayer? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's good unless he takes a leg off. So be careful. Just be careful how you do some of that stuff. All right, so the last scripture, the last part of scripture that I want to focus in on is this verse 13. And next week we're going to actually hit each of the seven items of the armor, which is so much fun. It's like one of the funnest teachings that I do. I just really have a great time doing it, and I'm looking forward to it. And then we'll do the closeout for the rest of the Ephesians. And yes, no, I still don't know what I'm doing next. Probably Philippians is probably where it's going to go. But verse 13 in Ephesians 6 says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand." It's interesting that the scripture does not say, put on the full armor of God so that if the day of evil comes. There's no if in this process, okay? I just want to make sure everybody gets that. There's no, is there an ultimate day of evil? Probably. But in this passage, when it says the day of evil, it's whenever evil confronts you on whatever the day it is. It's on a regular basis. And it doesn't say if it comes. It says when it comes. In fact, that's an interesting correlation, because Jesus never said if somebody offends you. He said when somebody offends you. Kind of an interesting, like, yeah, it's going to happen. I mean, this is part of the human existence. It's going to be something that takes place. And when that evil comes, there's something you want to be able to do, and that's to stand there. Now, you think that sounds kind of ridiculous. Well, when we put on the armor of God, it enables us to stand against the enemy, and sometimes just standing there is the victory. Sometimes just hanging in there, just staying faithful, staying diligent, staying firm, that is the victory. I know that we've probably all watched certain sci-fi shows where they come and they drop, like, you know, bombs and this and whatever and all these explosions, whatever, and at the end all the dust settles and there's somebody still standing there. Well, that's kind of what you got to do with the enemy. That's kind of what you got to do in spiritual work. Just stand there. And you take that stand, and the reason that you take that stand is pretty much like David and Goliath, and then Goliath coming forward and, you know, oh, I'm going to cut your head off. I'm going to feed you to the birds. I'm going to, you know, you're just a little runt. You don't mean anything to me. And David just standing for him going, I'm right here in the Lord. Here I am. And so I think that there's this attitude of reliance and dependence on God that tells you, you know what, sometimes after you've done that, the best that you can and everything you can, and like I said, next week we'll get into the specifics, but after you've done the best that you can, after you've done everything you can, after you've laid it all out and you lay it before the Lord and you sought his help and sought his blessing and sought to be submissive to him and allow his power to work through your life, and that you resist the enemy and you do everything that you can do in all the world, sometimes you just gotta stand there. And that's it. I'm not going nowhere. I'm right here. I'm not disappearing. In fact, I think that's a good attitude to have when some people have struggles in relationships. Unfortunately for us, it's easy to run. And people run way too much. Now, if the situation really warrants it, we're not talking about that. We're talking about just sometimes you're like, I'm just going to run away. It reminds me of Monty Python where the little bunny rabbit came out. You know, it's like, you don't run away. Sometimes you just stand there. And you got to take that firm position. So I want to read you something from Psalm 91, which is a psalm of great comfort during warfare. It says this: "If you make the Most High your dwelling, and if the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. The disaster will come near your tent, but it will not touch you. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample upon the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him with long life, and I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, and then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. Get it? It's like, if you make God your dwelling, he makes a commitment to fight with you and for you. Now, I'm not a genius, and I just call myself one and play one on TV. And the bottom line is, I know this. If I make God my delight, if I make my home in him, if I make the Most High my dwelling place, which is what that is, if I make the Lord my refuge, he'll protect me. If I do everything I got to do in him, and then I just stand there, then it's like, all you. We talked about this just yesterday. Sometimes you get to a point where you just go, that whole be still before the Lord. There's that whole, that word, the Hebrew word, be still. Go look it up. Psalm 37, I think it's verse 7 or 8, where it says be still, and that word is the Hebrew word for be dumb. And it's like, sometimes it's just like, okie dokie, I've done everything I can do. It's all up to you. I'm done. And you just stand there in the Lord, and as much onslaught and as much bad news and as much ridiculous stuff comes flowing down the river, as much pollution comes your way, as much rubbish comes your way, you just stand there and go, nah, no. I'm going to fix my eyes on the Lord. I'm going to look to the Lord. I'm going to keep my focus on the Lord. If you guys remember Isaiah 26, I think it's Isaiah 26, 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast on you because he trusts in you. You just keep God in your mind, steadfast. I'm going to be in perfect peace. Why? My mind is focused on the Lord. I've done all I can do, and I'm just going to stand there. And some of you, you feel like giving up. I know you feel like giving up from time to time. Everybody does. Everybody goes through that. But where does your strength come from? It comes from the Lord. So you depend on the Lord. You look to the Lord. You turn to the Lord. You rely on the Lord. And the enemy is against you, so don't kid yourself. It's not like it's one of the things you got to understand. It's a war. It's a struggle. But you stand firm in the Lord, and the Lord will sustain you. The Lord will strengthen you, and the Lord will give you victory. If God is for us, who can be against us? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than. Through him who loved us. Now, thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumphal procession. Hallelujah. I mean, that's just wow. And you're thinking, well, there's tough times. You bet there are tough times. But you know what? My God is bigger. There's a tough enemy out there. You bet he's a tough enemy. My God is bigger. He's the creator of the universe. He reigns and he rules, and I rejoice. That's how you do it. Rejoice always. Give thanks in all things, for this is God's will for you. In Christ Jesus. I mean, this is what you got to do. Got it? Stand firm. Okay, next week we'll finish up on this whole portion here. By the way, the answer was 2 Corinthians 3:18. Glory by glory, step by step, do we prevail in the Lord. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770. The Christian station here in Texas is going to take a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back for more. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.